Four-man rush. Fields has time. Launches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown, Ohio State. A deep strike, and the Buckeyes stretch the lead again. 56 yards. Wow.
Because of the day when they say we are, we say we are the Buckeyes.
The handoff by Hoynes to George in a foot race, and he gets away.
Offensive line gives Troy plenty of time. Goes deep, Ken's wide open. Wide open, folks. Touchdown. Here we go. Get out the adding machine. We're underway.
It doesn't stop being average. It begins to be elite when you can cross the line. Today is that kind of day.
Warden Schlager to the sideline. Caught. First down. Woo! What a hit. Denzel Ward. You got barbecue back there? And you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Don't let that team stand in the way. No way.
Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95. And this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys, Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. Ohio State got back on track this weekend, Cass. What do you think?
They did. I mean, granted, take playing Akron with a grain of salt, but I think this team gains a lot of confidence this week. They played very, very well without some key guys like C.J. Stroud and Tyreek Smith and Teron Vincent, Cam Brown, Harry. Obviously, we've played it all season without Harry Miller, without Thayer Mumford. Defensively, because I know we're going to talk a lot about Kyle McCord and the way Jack Miller played, but defensively, I don't care if you're playing Walsh, Akron, or Alabama, you get 9 sacks on any team, the confidence level is going to shoot through the roof.
Absolutely.
And that's what this team did. The DBs showed what they could do when there's a lot of pressure. Ronnie Hickman is becoming one of my favorite
superstar. He's about to be a superstar.
One of my favorite defensive players. He's turning into a superstar. Jack Sawyer got a sack. JT Tuimoloau got a sack.
Our boy Cody Simon.
Cody Simon, a pick. Talik? Talik, what's his last name? Oh, my. Number 91.
Oh, Tyleek Williams?
Tyleek Williams. Oh, dude is a mauler.
Amazing. He needs a start.
And then Haskell Garrett with 3 sacks. This team is ready for Big Ten play, in my opinion. Defensively.
Yeah.
Granted, it was Akron. I'd like to see a little bit more. Maybe not give up a first touchdown, but I mean, their quarterback was legit. I mean,
he's not bad. DJ Irons, dude. Yeah, dude was 6'6".
Yeah,
dude's like a mini Cam Newton. Like, where did Akron find him?
Like, I don't know if is he a JUCO guy. I don't know, but I think this team is bound and ready for Big Ten play. Are they all the way there yet? No. It's still going to take time, but you see the young guys maturing. Mm-hmm. They're getting healthier this week, as Ryan Day said in his press conference today. You're going to get Tyreek Smith back. You're going to get Teron Vincent back. But I think number 91 earned his spot. I know you put out on Twitter what you want to see. But I want to see I've been wanting to say this, and I've been saving it for the show. I want to see Talik Haskell up front as the tackles, and I want to see a rotation of we get Javon Baptiste back there,
yeah.
Javonte Jean-Baptiste back there, too. But I want to see and run down situations. I want to see Haskell Garrett, Zach Harrison, JT Tuimoloau, and Talik. Passing situations, I want to see Haskell Garrett, Talik, and I want to see Jack Sawyer and Tuimoloau. I think Tuimoloau is getting that part where he needs to start, and I think that defensive line, they're studs everywhere, and they're growing and maturing together.
So, I like that lineup. Like, I totally see that cast. What I wanted to go with was, like, someone called it on Twitter to the Meat Lovers lineup, and it was, yes, like, this is just, like, primarily against the run, I think. And, like, but it's also on the caveat that I think Haskell Garrett, if he moved to D end, he would be a very good pass rusher still, almost like a Cam Hayward. I think, like, he'd be a player like that if he was coming off the edge. But you put, like, Haskell on the edge and, like, Zach Harrison's spot, JTT in, like, Tyreek Smith's spot, and then Talik, and then, you know, Teron Vincent, Antoine Jackson, whatever our other defensive tackle is, just, like, at defensive tackle. But, I mean, I do think the lineup you gave with Zach Harrison in there, Talik, Haskell, and JTT, that is a formidable lineup, honestly. If everyone plays to their potential like they should, then that's probably the best lineup on paper.
But our linebackers have to be Cody Simon, Terada Mitchell, and Ronnie Hickman. I'm sorry. Ronnie Hickman was playing in that traditional 4-3.
Ronnie Hickman cannot come off the field. He's probably our most important guy. Exactly. He's a leading tackler, and he's a ball hawk.
Ronnie Hickman played that will linebacker position that can cover guys out of the backfield. Because I loved Lathan Ransom being that three deep safety.
Yeah, he's good out there. I got no problem with him.
And I loved, now I would put Cam Brown back out there, but I love Cam Martinez as the nickel corner. And Denzel Bork is a stud. And even Matt Barnes said that today in the press conference that Denzel Bork is a stud. Our two best players on the back seven is Ronnie Hickman and Denzel Bork, and it's showing.
You're absolutely right. I mean, too, it feels like a lot of the young guys are really beginning to get the hang of things now. A lot of it's clicking. I'm happy. I saw a crazy stat today. I'm pulling it up.
Maturing.
I feel bad to even mention this, Cass. By the way, before I mention this, Steel Chambers has really developed into a good player at linebacker. I was skeptical in the beginning of the season, especially when we were playing him against Oregon. But after seeing how he's been really making strides, I'm honestly confident to say I would like to see a little more Steel Chambers out there the way he's been playing.
In running situations, yeah, I would. In running situations, if you pull
– he's raw, but he's good.
In running situations, you take Cam Martinez off the field. You move Ronnie Hickman out. You bring Steel Chambers in the middle, and you use Terada and Cody Simon as your traditional four. You know, you can run a 4-4 out of that. I mean, kind of a 4-4 defense if in running situations. And he's slowly developing into a great player. And I think him being a great star running back / linebacker in high school, and him playing 2 years as a running back at Ohio State, has really developed his way he reads the offenses because he was in that situation.
Yeah, he's just reading the gaps. It's like if you understand the – that's why like sometimes like a former quarterback makes a good like safety, because it's like you're basically doing the opposite of what the quarterback's doing. It's like the same concept of that. But like Cass, I wanted to mention this though, because this – I feel bad I bring this up. I had to bring up Steel Chambers up because he was the number one on the list. 49 snaps, 8 tackles. This comes from Jay Book on Twitter.
Yeah.
Ohio State linebacker snap count and tackles over the last two games. Chambers, 49 snaps, 8 tackles. Taraja Mitchell, 40 snaps, 4 tackles. Cody Simon, 92 snaps.
And those
snaps.
Were all in the Akron game, by the way, with Taraja Mitchell because he was out in Tulsa.
Yeah. Simon, 92 snaps, 4 tackles. Also the pick. That they didn't include stuff like that, but our boy, Paulie G, 19 snaps, 2 tackles. Reed Caraccio, 8 snaps, 2 tackles. And Eichenberg, 74 snaps, 1 tackle, which I hate to say it. Florida Corey on Twitter tweeted this in response to that tweet. 127 snaps, one tackle for Mr. Eichenberg. Yikes. I feel so bad at this point. I just don't understand how that's possible.
He's slow.
You would think like you would just fall on a pile at one point, just like and touch someone, like as they're falling on a pile. Maybe get like half a sack. I mean, half a tackle. Anything?
I thought he had a couple tackles over the week, in Saturday's game. But it's bad. And you know, I know the whole Dallas game and Kayvon Pope situation.
Yes. That too, we have to get
and
into.
What people don't realize is Dallas Gant and Eichenberg played the same position. Pope was an outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. So Gant made some idiotic plays. We know. I mean, Minnesota roughing the passers because shouldn't have shoved the guy down.
Yeah.
He made some idiotic plays in his career.
He lost outside contain and like a play after. Like
Kayvon Pope, it's a sticky situation because – in my opinion, Kayvon Pope never developed, and I know a lot of people are blaming Al Washington for this, but Pope is also an Urban Meyer recruit. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a lot of – I was talking to our buddy Jamie Sumner about this. There's transition. There's a lot of things that transition. Just like when Coop's players, people say Tressel won a national championship with Coop's mm-hmm. players. Well, it's all about player development too.
It is.
And Pope – and I don't know if there's something going on up there. We all know. And he admitted it and apologized and everything.
Yeah. And I'm fine with that.
I am too.
I don't understand the people on Twitter that are acting like they're acting like he murdered someone almost. He's acting like he committed like a crime. The dude had a bad moment during a game. And I know a lot of people are passionate about Ohio State. And he shouldn't have tweeted the, you know, F Ohio State. I just don't like if he's having an issue up there. I don't agree with him getting kicked off the team. Now, if he mutually parted ways, him and Ryan Day's talked and he was saying, oh, well, it's the fourth game. I want to go play somewhere else. I'll save my eligibility. I'm sorry I made the scene. They don't want to come back. That's fine. I just found it odd that they used the term dismissed. It seemed almost more like a mutually parting of ways.
I think it did, but I think Ryan Day also had to make a good example. Mm-hmm. And it tore Ryan Day apart. And I'm going to read some comments from his press conference today.
All the people I thought Ryan Day would be the most, I guess, understanding just because like the whole mental health thing. Yes. That's what kind of got me a little.
And I think he is. And I think it was a mutual thing. And we know how the media twists.
It was class, absolutely classy that they're letting him like keep his scholarship and use the you know resources and stuff.
Yeah.
I just think if they mutually parted ways, don't say you dismissed him. Say you mutually parted ways. That's my issue with the PR.
I don't even know if Day actually said he dismissed him. But we weren't there. We don't know. But I know, and then
other people are coming out with like rumors and stuff like, oh, he was lazy in practice. This is in the first incident. Well, honestly, I've never really heard much of that up until that day.
I've heard of bad practice players.
I've heard, yes, the bad – like he hasn't and been he was on practice. But like I've mentioned this on episodes
He was on
before.
That list.
I've mentioned this though on episodes – like years ago, like on episodes before. Like Pope is a gamer. I don't think he was ever a practice player.
Josh Proctor is not a practice player.
Yeah,
he's Tommy a gamer. Tommy Eichenberg, a
probably
practice
a player. Practice player, not a gamer. He's the opposite.
Duff Borland was a gamer until he tore his Achilles, by the way. Yeah. But Day came out and said he didn't get much sleep Saturday night. He was clearly very upset with the Kayvon Pope situation and the way it unfolded. And he didn't have much to say about it today. He clearly wants to put everything behind him and wants nothing but the best for Pope and his ball club. And those aren't Day's words, but those were the summary that people got out of his press conference.
What's unfortunate too is I think Day is the one that's kind of put in the worst situation here. It's when you look at all this, you got to look at the defensive coaches. This starts with I think them, like Al Washington, like what happened to the development? Kerry Combs, man, what happened to just the defense up until this
and
game.
And this could even go back to Greg Schiano when he was here as the defensive coordinator, and Greg Madison. I hope nothing but the best for Pope. I hope he gets whatever's going on up in the demons up inside his head. But Ryan Day did what he had to do because of the social media post.
Yeah, the social media, the post was the one that I think did it in for the most part. Because, I mean, for me, I could care less if you say that about my university. I love Ohio State, but I'm not going to take it personally.
I was upset, but I didn't take it personally.
No, that's like,
I'm not an alumni from Ohio State, but, you know, I love this.
Do you know how many times I've said F Ohio State? Like, if I got expelled every time in my college career, it was like F Ohio State, like between like either like a test or like
there's a. Well, and Ohio State didn't expel him, so.
No, but like a situation like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah. I love my university, but like, God forbid if I got in trouble every time I said the F word, like, just like ridiculous in my opinion. But
I hope he fixes whatever is. His demons inside, you know, hopefully he gets that fixed.
Like, but you did mention Greg Schiano. I bet you there's at least a 60% chance if he hits the transfer portal, he's going to be playing for Rutgers next year. Just the way I see that playing out immediately now that I'm thinking about it.
Maybe.
Schiano loves the ex-OSU players. He loves getting transfers too. And then he probably knows the system. So, I mean, looking at it right away, Pope, wouldn't be shocked if he's going to Rutgers. Like, that would be.
Maybe we'll see him Saturday wearing.
He might be on the other sideline on Saturday. Imagine
in the stands wearing a Rutgers
season transfer hoodie. Kayvon Pope. That would be
wearing a Rutgers hoodie in the stands.
Kevin Warren wants to redeem himself, like he should allow like a midseason Kayvon Pope transfer to Rutgers. And we get like some WWE entrance, like smoke coming out, Kayvon Pope on the other sideline. Like, I think that's a fair punishment, honestly. He has to play linebacker against Travion Henderson and whoever started quarterback this week. I mean, let's get into that.
Well, let's talk about the two quarterbacks that played Saturday. Mm-hmm. I thought Jack Miller came in and looked confident. The arm strength is not there compared to McCord and CJ Stroud, but boy, I texted you. I know you were corner opposite from me, and I texted you after that first drive. I was like, my first instinct was thinking of Buckeye Nation and of all the talk that people said, put McCord in, put McCord so much better. The dude was so off.
Yeah, he was nervous. You could tell.
I mean, I get it, but man. Those throws were awful. And even, like, you break it down, he had a couple great passes, but, boy, the receivers made him really look good.
And, like, yes, I 100% agree. I think Ryan Day did it's Akron, so I'm not going to say fantastic job, but he did a very good job, because you don't have to do, like, your best job. He did a very good job of putting McCord in good situations, I thought. Especially on the first, like the touchdown pass to Olave, it goes down the stat sheet as a touchdown pass. You look at the stat sheet and you see 300 something yards and two touchdowns. Well, one of them was like a handoff, but he did have some good throws
and an 85-yard, a 5-yard out that turned into an 85-yard run by Emeka Buka.
He missed a lot of open guys too in the beginning, and obviously he didn't play the entire game because it's Akron. Jack Miller got. Base almost a half. It's just what he did didn't wow me more than what Stroud has done. I still think Stroud does it a little smoother. I think his balls are a little more accurate. His reads are better. He's quicker.
And I think resting the shoulder this week is going to help a lot.
Absolutely.
But I'm telling you what, when you got running backs that are averaging, when you have a running back that's averaging 9.5 yards a carry. You're gonna look really, really good. And Master Teague averaging 5 yards a carry.
You played good.
Meatball averaging 5 yards a carry, just about. And Evan Pryor coming in, and I tell you what, that
he looked good.
That cat is fast. Why can't we have Emeka Ogbuka and Evan Pryor back air returning kicks.
Why didn't we have Jameson Williams returning kicks? Why, like, shut the dude up. Just returned two kickoffs for a touchdown.
Well, here's
past
the thing.
Weekend. I know he couldn't catch it, but it's
look. Okay, I'm looking at when you talk about Jameson Williams, and I'm glad he's having the success he is at Alabama. I'm just thrilled.
I'm
for
thrilled
him.
For the Juice Man. I love the Juice Man.
But here's the thing with Juice Man: can he run a 5 yard out? Like, can he run a 5 yard out like Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith, and Jigba?
But then, like, it's all right if you can't do that because we don't need him to do that. If he was on the field. Just run straight down the field, be the beater guy.
Can he run an 80 yard? Can he run an 80 yard sprint to the house?
Absolutely.
Yes.
He says every time he's getting the ball too, he says, "I'm trying to take it to the crib." That was like an exact quote, and it's like we let this man walk. Like, it's just frustrating to me that he might be Alabama's best offensive player outside Bryce Young, and he was like our fifth string receiver.
But
we started the Mario McCall kickoff return over the Juice Man.
Yeah,
it's just that
he finally broke out though. He finally broke out.
He did. I mean, I just
took
6 years. Question: just what the coaching staff was looking at times, and I hate to be critical of them, but like we're seeing on the defensive side of the ball too. It's like you have the players, you gotta play the right ones.
So let's go back to the offense. I mean, Travion Anderson is his Heisman. His Heisman stats are, I mean, not his stats, but his odds are going up.
He's creeping in there. He's like, he's slowly like uptrending towards it. He's not there yet, but like he's.
And then just the thing, he's going to play four quarters this weekend. And like, he only had 8 carries, but like 93 yards. Like, it's like insane how good he is. And he didn't even play a single down of football last year.
It's unreal, man.
It is unreal. This offense, I think a healthy C.J. Stroud, I think what we did against Oregon, against if we do it against Rutgers, oh, it's game over, game.
I mean, Henderson already has 439 yards, almost 100 yards receiving right now. It's – and we're feeding him the ball volume-wise. And when we have some big games coming up too, down like Michigan State looks like they're going to be a good opponent this year for the most part, unless they
– obviously, you know, Penn State.
Penn State is looking like, you know, that might be basically a de facto playoff game if we're undefeated at that point. And, well, not undefeated. They're undefeated.
In Big Ten play.
It's basically a playoff game. And then the Michigan looks like they might be
– one-dimensional good.
They looked – Corum, I'll give them credit. Corum.
No, I'm Corum just saying looks, they're one-dimensional good.
Yeah. Corum and Haskins are pretty decent. And I'll give them their quarterback is more serviceable than the ones they've had in the past. But, I mean, this week we go to Rutgers. And this one is actually going to be, I think, a decent game, Cass.
I do too. And the spread's 17, and
I think it's moved. I think it's 15, but what I saw today, it was 15, but it might have moved.
I haven't seen it since. But I'm telling you, I've been talking to people at work. This could be a dogfight, just like you said on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But it's a dogfight where you look at the score and be like, well, how was this a dogfight? Like, you know what I mean? That's where I think Ohio State's going to be is more physical up front on both sides of the ball. I think the running back situation, Verdell is actually playing very well at quarterback.
Good quarterback.
For Rutgers, but there's also a skill set matter. And Ohio State is now going to be 4 games in. They're going to be healthier. A Bunch of Nuts podcast is going to be there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the emergence of the 3 running backs, and they all bring different styles. And obviously, Travion Henderson's your guy. He's your dude. He's the one you're going to rely on. But when it's 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1,
Teague.
Master Teague.
It's and I was watching him run this weekend too. What I've
he runs hard.
He runs well. That's what I've kind of concluded to before when I was just rethinking about the game, just thinking about what I saw. Mayan is looks like a better athlete than Teague, but Teague is more crafty. He finds the holes better. He's quicker. He knows his job better. If Mayan had the awareness and like the presence of Teague, he would be much better than Teague. But Teague is such a good veteran presence, and he's a very good pass blocker too. People forget when we have him out here there, he's very good at like picking up the blitz, in my opinion. So that's good. That he's basically an extra lineman because he's so big. If we have him pass blocking,
and how about the? I'm going to throw this out there. As much as I love Jeremy Rucker, but how about Cade Stover and his blocking?
He's a good blocker. Yeah,
the dude is starting to remind me of Jeff Heuerman. Like when it comes to run blocking.
I agree. I mean, he's a very good run blocker. He just needs to like
– and I do like Mitch Rossi too.
Mitch Rossi's a very good special teams player for the
Buckeyes. And he blocks.
He does. He's a very good special teams player. I mean, I completely agree there, man. But what Rutgers does, Cass, I mean, they are a little trickery. They're a matchup nightmare at times because they like to run the trick plays. Their quarterback, Noah Verdahl, he's decent. But then they also run Johnny Langan as like a goal line quarterback. Like he's almost like a Tebow. They'll run him in certain situations.
What the thing is we've seen this already with Minnesota and Oregon. That's the thing. That's what's going to help. But I think our defensive line being healthy and our linebackers, I think the linebackers are also key. But I think Ronnie Hickman is the guy. I think he's going to play a lot of. Okay, he's going to be like a ball spy. Where is the ball, and I'm going to go? That's what they should reuse Ronnie Hickman.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an emotional game for him because he's from New Jersey, not too far from
Rutgers. There's a lot of kids on this Buckeye team that's from the New York, New Jersey team.
There are. I mean, Ohio State is definitely made up a lot of guys from New Jersey. But then also on Rutgers' offense cast, kind of just running – as I was kind of running back down their lineup, Isaiah Pacheco, he's a veteran Big Ten running back. Does a little bit of everything. Good runner. Very good receiver. Their receivers, Rutgers, man, they are pretty good. I'm not going to lie, Cass. Bo Melton, he honestly arguably might be a top five Big Ten receiver. Obviously, we'd probably take two or three of those. You could throw one to, I would say,
Jahan Dotson.
Absolutely Dotson. And then maybe like Dante Demas on Maryland, I would say. I think Bo Melton's a little more tricky. He does a lot. He does a lot of things. He can return. He's a very good player. And then they have Cruikshank, the Wisconsin transfer. Deadly return man. He's their number two receiver. And finally, Giovanni Haskins, their starting tight end. He's a good blocker, like a Cade Stover type, but they will throw it to him. He scored a couple big touchdowns. He's a red zone threat. Where Rutgers, I think they'll kind of falls behind Ohio State, is on the lines. That skill positions wise, I'll give them credit. They have a lot of good guys, a lot of good skill guys. Rutgers doesn't usually have this many skill guys.
They have good guys, but not great guys.
Big Ten veterans, good now because they're upperclassmen, juniors, and seniors.
Right.
We're not good a couple of years ago, but I think they've really developed. But the lines that I think is where they fall apart, I think that's where Ohio State has the biggest edge. And that's just – I mean, that's just the way it is. Ohio State, they get the bigger recruits than Rutgers on the lines.
Yep.
Ohio State still, they dominate. I mean, they usually dominate too, like the Iowas and Penn State's on the line. So it's like Rutgers on the line. That's where Ohio State's going to win this game, Cass, I think.
Absolutely. And that's just a defensive side of the ball. Offensively, can Rutgers defense – they got a couple good guys on defense. Don't get me wrong. Number 50 is a stud, I think.
Their linebacker is really good. Avery Young is a very good corner, too.
Yeah, and Avery Young. But outside of that, Shiana is going to mix things up and maybe throw some things at Stroud just to, keep him aware. But they don't have enough guys to cover Olave, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Rucker, Garrett Wilson, who's just really emerging, and the running backs. Like, again, I am going back to the running backs. I think Rutgers will get a few stops here and there, but I think Ohio State will eventually just
I could see kind of being like the Minnesota game. I think that would
be. That's what I think. And I've been talking about this all day. And I'll throw out my score prediction now. That's just who I am. 15 to 17 point is the spread. I've been saying all day 38-17. three touchdowns, right? Touchdown victory. I mean, that's how I see it. I just don't think they'll have enough offense to be able to keep up with the Buckeyes.
I'm going to go with 42-27. I think we'll have another slow start on offense. I think that's just honestly what we're going to have to deal with this season. I just don't think our offense is a fast-starting offense. It comes to a point where you can't even blame the quarterbacks when you're just not scoring on your first drive. That, I think, is just a systemic thing when you have two quarterbacks that can't do it. So I think we're not going to score every drive. They'll get a couple stops, maybe a turnover. 42-27 is my prediction. I think they'll get a couple field goals because they trust their kicker, even though he shanked one against that team up north from like 20 yards out. But Valentino Ambrosio is a decent kicker for the most part. 42-27 is my prediction. I think Rutgers covers barely the spread. I have a spread at like plus 15. Some people has plus 17. I think they will keep it close enough to cover. But for the most part, it's going to be a solid Ohio State win. I think our receivers,
if we don't cover, it's not a solid compared to the rest of the media.
I think Garrett Wilson will have a big game too.
I hope we score 42 points, but I think our defense is finding that niche. I really do. I think they're gaining confidence, and I think they're going to – this will be their best game.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think Rutgers is going to – Shiano's going to have some tricks up his sleeves too. He's gonna find a way to get some extra points just because it's – last year what they did, man, was like the most weird, frustrating second half of football I've ever watched because they were just – They invented almost like a new sport. They would like catch the ball and then they would like do a cross field lateral to like a lineman. I think they're going to do a couple of those things, but it's going to be a really nice night afternoon. Cause it's going to be around low of 48, high about 70 degrees in New Jersey. So I think that's going to be a good day for a game for anyone making the trip.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. But, you know, I just want to see us win. I want to see us win, and I want to see us win handily. I would love for our predictions to be blown out of the water. I think last week showed that this team can do some things. Yeah, it was against Akron, but the confidence that they can do it in, maturing. I've been talking this whole episode about maturing, and I think they have. And I can't wait. I know we got Maryland next week. Also, we'll talk more about that. And then we got a much needed bye week too coming up too. So these next two games are pivotal on how the Buckeyes will respond for the rest of the year, because, you know, they keep dropping in the polls, which that's okay. I mean, this season is slowly in all capitals starting to remind me of the 2014 season where CJ Stroud was a JT Barrett was a redshirt freshman. CJ Stroud's a redshirt freshman. Stroud is having similar numbers as JT right now, despite the shoulder injury. It takes maybe it was Jaron Cage who came out last Thursday and really blown up the practice with some emotional speech.
Yeah. I agree. It is kind of feeling like that. It is kind of frustrating when Ohio State wins big against Akron. I know that Akron scored first, I guess. People are being like hypertechnical, like, oh, Ohio State was trailing Akron. It was 7-0, and then we immediately scored
for 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was just
– we scored 59 unanswered.
Yeah, we're fine. It's ridiculous. A little frustrating, but it does remind me of that season cast. I think, too, like Travion is kind of emerging like a Zeke. Maybe a little earlier than Zeke emerged that season, but he is emerging to be like that back. I'm not going to say it is going to be that season, but I do definitely see the similarities there, Cass.
A little bit slowly. That's why I said slowly. So
speaking, did you get a chance to see, and if you haven't had a chance to see it, check it out. It was on Twitter. It was during the Script Ohio.
Akron's I was there. Kicker. I saw it.
You saw that. Yeah, I didn't see a lot of things. I didn't see the Kayvon Pope getting, you know, walked off. I didn't see this, but during Script, Ohio, Akron's kicker was basically kicking across the field, warming up for like a kickoff, looked like, and he'd made a kick right over everyone's heads on doing Script, Ohio, like the band. And he kept doing it, and a state trooper, thank the Lord for this man, just comes out here, and he's like, you can't be kicking like while they're doing Script, Ohio. What was this Akron kicker thinking, man?
I don't know what he was thinking, but he was sure pissed that he, because the state trooper took, well, you didn't see in the video, but the state trooper picked up the field goal, the fake field goal thing, and tossed it.
He does. Yeah, you can see he does toss it. That man is a hero. People are like, oh, he's probably abusing his powers. I think that was a safety hazard. What if he hits someone walking with a trombone?
What if the guy who dotted the I
got hit by the football
in his tuba?
Yeah. What if you knocked over a guy with like a trombone and just caused a chain reaction? Everyone's falling.
What if he knocked over the 90-year-old man that was marching in the alumni band? Like,
the alumni band, by the way, got the people going. The alumni band was fantastic. I loved it. The alumni band, and we need more of the alumni band. They practice. I mean, I thought honestly the alumni band was just as tight, if not tighter, than our band. They did a really good job.
Yeah, they did. It's always fun when you see the alumni band, and always a great time during alumni band night. And they were special, or even more jacked up, because it was the first time they marched in the night at night.
Yeah, and overall, the atmosphere at the game was really solid, in my opinion. Someone tweeted like 50,000 people showed up. It was like close to 100,000.
It was 95,000, and I know why. You could see in the open end standing on the corners, nobody's there, and then underneath the rack, underneath the C deck where B deck is, there's like nobody there. Like,
it was a lot of the student section too. The student section. The tops of the student section aren't filled out. If that filled out, that's easily over 100,000 people.
We have sports ball player on WXYX saying, I'm scared of COVID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the sports ball player. Yeah, just ridiculous stuff. I mean, I think the atmosphere at the game this weekend will be very good. They are expecting a lot of Rutgers fans to buy tickets. It's going to be – I mean, this is a big game for Rutgers. I'll say their stadium's probably going to be pretty packed. They're 3-1. They just played Michigan pretty well for the most part, only lost by a touchdown, had their chances, looked really good in the second half, had their chances, man. I think their fans are going to be really excited. I think this is one of the biggest games in their recent history.
If Rutgers starts off slow like they did last week
– no chance.
Ohio State's running away with
it. Yeah, no chance for them if they do that.
So, yep, we got our predictions in. We're headed out to Rutgers this weekend. That's why we're doing it early. People are like, well, why'd your episode drop on Wednesday? Well,
because we're going to be driving on Thursday night.
I'll be driving Wednesday. Well, you know, yeah, Thursday morning. I'm going to see my good buddy, good Penn State buddy, Aaron Pearson, and – sure do miss that dude. I know we're going to be enemies in about a month, but that's okay.
It's going to be fun, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
Speaking of that game, did you see the uniforms that dropped yesterday? The all-scarlet uniform.
The Color Rush unis.
The Color Rush uniforms. It's going to be a scarlet. This is hinting now that this is going to be a night game. And I think due to the fact that the World Series will probably be going on during that time, so Fox will probably not have this game.
Oh, that's a very good point.
So, because Fox picked up Maryland next week, I know
that
for
seems
sure.
That seems like a College Game Day type game.
Which the World Series coming up, you know, with baseball, Fox's obligation with that. We don't get very many ESPN games. I think that. Yeah, it will be ESPN game day where everybody's going to pick Penn State because we know that's going to happen. Scarlet out. If you're going to that game October 30th, wear scarlet. Don't wear any other color but scarlet. And I was explaining because somebody's like, oh, I don't really like these uniforms, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm going to tell you what. I did not like the black uniforms until they showed out and it was a blackout and it looked nice. I think the same thing is going to happen with the scarlet out. where all the fans are going to wear scarlet, and they come out rocking the scarlet unis, and LeBron is probably already cooking up something because he tweeted out and said, these are straight fire. So you can imagine what he's doing with his team and his endorsement, trying to get these guys some LeBron cleats that will go great with these scarlet out.
I mean, I'm excited for it. No offense to Big Noon Kickoff. We love Big Noon Kickoff, but I just don't want them to touch this one. Like, just as an Ohio State fan, don't make this one noon. I can live with 3:30, no problem, 3:30, but I want the night game. I think we all want a real night game. I honestly felt like, too, the Akron game being at night was almost like a warm-up for that.
I think that one will be a night game, and I'm thinking Purdue might be a night game.
Ooh, if Purdue's a night game,
I'll be at that game too.
We gotta do a blackout to them because they did a blackout to us when they beat us.
Yeah. So I mean, check out those unis. I mean, yeah, I know they're not special uniforms. I think Ohio State's kind of ran the course with the black unis.
Yeah.
So they're gonna try these. They tried the Sub Zero last year against Michigan State. Loved them. I think they go back to the Sub Zero this year too.
Those uniforms are fire.
Do you think Michigan will get, they'll get the Sub Zero against Michigan?
I hope they do. I think that would make the most sense. Cause it's like too, it's like, it looks like a cold weather uniform, and that's gonna be a cold game because it should be up north after Thanksgiving as always. That uniform has to be worn either late November or December, in my opinion. Even Big Ten Championship, I think those uniforms look good if you put a patch on them.
Yeah. So,
but real quick before we finish up, buddy.
We
got to do our picks. Pretty honestly, a really good schedule this week, in my opinion.
Very good schedule. There's some teams on upset alert in my eyes.
There will definitely be upsets this week, Cass, no doubt. We don't know who, but you just look at it. This is going to shape up to be a fun week. Starting on Friday, 8:00, Iowa, Maryland. And I'm just mentioning this because this is on a Friday. If this game was at noon or 3, I probably wouldn't mention this. It's on a Friday, Cass. They're traveling to Maryland. Could you see the Terps pulling off the upset there?
I can, but they won't. It'd be close.
They're 4-0. They look competent. They have good offense between Tagovailoa, Dante Dimas, Rakeem Jarrett. They could definitely put up points. That is going to be – I'm not going to make a prediction, but I always do the keep your eye on it game.
It's a keep your eye.
That's a keep your eye on game. I bet you that's going to be a very good Friday night game. And it's a good thing it's the only really game on other than BYU, Utah State. After that, though, Nooncast, huge matchup. Number 8,
I can't believe this is a noon game.
Yeah, number 2, Georgia. I'm an Arkansas believer, man.
How is Georgia 18.5-point favorite?
Give me the Hogs. Give me the Hogs with the spread, obviously, but that I don't understand that.
It's gonna be close, but Georgia.
Georgia will probably win, but like if I'm a betting man, I would bet the house on the Hogs.
Big noon kickoff. I know they're 1-2, but they've lost to 2 ranked teams. They look bad in the fourth quarter. Wisconsin home against Michigan. This is my upset pick. I'm one of my upset picks. I'm going with Wisconsin at home. I think they'll be able to make Michigan one-dimensional and make him throw the football. And guess what? I don't think they're going to. This game sounds like it's going to be 10-3 final. But give me Wisconsin.
I'm going to go with that team up north, unfortunately, because I don't think Wisconsin's very good. After watching them play against Notre Dame, a team that I'm not a big believer in either. I think Michigan does almost a similar stuff to Notre Dame. Their offensively, honestly, I'd rather take Michigan than Notre Dame. Now, if they had a healthy Ronnie Bell, that it would be no doubt.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think Michigan runs the ball a lot better than Notre Dame right now. I know that you know Kylan Williams, everyone's high on him, but between Haskins and Corum, I think that's a deadlier duo. So I would go Michigan here.
This is a real tough test for Michigan, but I like Wisconsin. I like them. Close though, 10-3 final.
I can understand that. And then we got, I mean, this is 230, number 7 Cincinnati, number 9 Notre Dame. I'm going with the Irish here.
I am too.
It's, if Cincinnati does win this, they're going to win it in some super, super suspenseful, like improbable way, in my opinion. This is going to be a good game. I think Notre Dame's defense will really be – Notre Dame's defense is incredible. They will give Cincinnati's offense issues, and I think Notre Dame's offensive line should be able to at least control Cincinnati's defensive line. So I have the Irish there.
I have the Irish as well. I want them to win, and I want Cincinnati to go backpacking. I'm tired of their fans. I really am. Like, they have become the worst. Like, we all know what happened 2 years ago in the shoe. We all know.
Yeah, they are not the top dog. I think that Notre Dame's going to make an example out of them. I really do. After that, well, not even after that, hour after kickoff in that game, number 11 Ole Miss, number 1 Alabama. This should be a really fun one offensively.
Alabama and Ole Miss. Ole Miss always gives Alabama fits, no matter where it's played.
However, which is crazy to me.
Yeah. However, I think Alabama wins, but not by 14.5.
I think they cover Bama. I really do. But it'll be like a late cover. A late cover as in Ole Miss might be down 9, 8 or 9, let's say, in the fourth, trying to really make a play, and then Alabama will get a pick six or something, and that will be the difference. But it's going to be a close game.
Here's my another upset pick of the week, and I know
I already know which one you're going to say, but say it.
Kansas State over Oklahoma.
Wow, that was not the one I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, I think Kansas State beats Oklahoma at home. People could say that Oklahoma should have lost last week to West Virginia. I don't think Oklahoma's offense is that good. Their defense is legit, yeah. But Kansas State always has Oklahoma's number.
That's
my upset pick. We don't have to pick that one.
That's quite the upset. I'm shocked you're going with that, but I see it. I was going to say my upset pick, and I think a lot of people kind of want to have this peg, unfortunately, but I've been calling it for weeks. Boston College, Clemson. I think Jeff Hafley gets it done.
What about Kentucky, Florida? At Kentucky.
That one it's going to intrigue a lot of people. I think Florida's decent, though.
I think Florida's defense. That was just that's my keep an eye on.
I like that. Keep your eye on that one.
I also think Penn State will knock Indiana back to more reality. I think Penn State is looking for some deep, deep revenge from what happened last year when they should have lost.
I agree. That's a revenge game for them.
I like Hafley over. I think Clemson is broke. Hey, and Georgia fans, you didn't break Clemson. Ohio State broke Clemson.
Yeah. This one, Cass, does this one concern you as a Buckeye fan? Because we kind of need to rely on them a little bit for them to not be, you know, terrible. Is Oregon Stanford? Because that one's always a close one. That's a rivalry usually.
I like Oregon big. I really like their offense.
Stanford always feels like that team that whenever Stanford or Oregon's really good, whatever one's not good always seems to creep up on the other one.
It sucks that Oregon and Stanford, Alabama, Ole Miss.
They're all at 3:30 or 2:30.
Cincinnati, Notre Dame, and Ohio State, Rutgers is all basically going on the same time.
I feel like if you're not going to the game, I'm kind of envious of you almost because you get all these games on the TV at once. So that.
Yeah, I have YouTube TV on my phone.
Yeah, it's
if our game gets out of hand, we'll just watch it.
We'll bring the portable charger. We'll bring the portable charger. Yeah, we'll have games going on. It's
yeah,
absolutely. But Cass, my butt, my man. Any final thoughts as we wrap it tonight up?
Yes, I have to. The Cincinnati Bengals, led by Sam Hubbard and Von Bell, made Ben Roethlisberger look like a rookie over the weekend. Sam Hubbard had a huge game. The Bengals 24-10 over the Steelers.
I think I sent this to you, but did you see the clip of Big Ben throwing the ball and just falling on the ground?
Yes.
He threw and fell. No one was in 10 feet of him. He just fell. It was the funniest clip.
But this will be the first time since the 2006 national championship game that I'll be rooting against Urban Meyer.
Yes, because Thursday night.
It's Thursday night football. Joey B versus Trevor Lawrence. My Cincinnati Bengals are going to go 3-1.
That's going to be – I'm glad that's on to the NFL Network, because I'll be driving in my car and I'll have the game on as I'm driving to New Jersey. So that's going to be a good thing to have on in the background and everything. But I'm excited. It's a great weekend of football. That's really all I got. Any other thoughts, Cass?
Can we get something for Justin Fields, please?
Oh yeah, yes.
Please.
Someone protect our man.
Please.
9 sacks, and by the way, no one's gonna give him credit. I'm gonna give him credit. He did an excellent job of protecting the football.
Yeah.
Not a single. He got sacked 9 times in his first NFL start.
He was pressured 17 times.
Not a single interception. Not a single fumble. I don't think they had a single turnover. So I'll give him props. He was in the worst situation possible. And honestly, the fact that he got out of there with no turnovers really impressed me.
He was 6 of 20, and he was pressured 17 times. So you're telling me, on one of his completions, he didn't feel no pressure or anything at all? Poor guy.
Pray for Mr. Fields. But
yes,
as always, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. And as always, go Bucks, beat Rutgers.